welcome to a half hour of Mind Webs. Short stories from the worlds of speculative fiction. This is Michael Hansen. The story this evening is Game for Motel Room by Fritz Lieber, copyright 1963 by Mercury Press. Sonia moved around the warm, deeply carpeted motel room in the first gray trickle of dawn as if to demonstrate how endlessly beautiful a body can be if only its owner will let it. Even the body of a woman in, well, perhaps your 40s, Burton judged, smiling at himself in lazy reproof for having thought that grudging word even. It occurred to him that bodies do not automatically grow less beautiful with age, but that a lot of bodies are neglected, abused, even hated by their owners. Women, in particular, are apt to grow contemptuous and ashamed of their flesh. This always shows. They start thinking old and ugly, and pretty soon they look it. Like a car, a body needs tender, constant care, regular tune-ups, an occasional small repair, and above all, it needs to be intimately loved by its owner, and from time to time by an admiring second party. And then it never loses beauty and dignity, even when it corrupts in the end and dies. Oh, the dawn's a cold hour for philosophy, Burton told himself. And somehow, philosophy always gets around to cold topics, just as lovemaking and all the rest of the best of life make one remember death and even worse things. His lean arm, snaked out to a bedside table, came back with a cigarette and an empty folder of matches. Sonia noticed. She rummaged in her pale ivory traveling case and tossed him a black pear-shaped lighter. Burton caught the thing, lit his cigarette, and then studied it. It seemed to be made of black ivory and shaped rather like the grip of a revolver, while the striking mechanism was of blued steel. The effect was sinister.
Like it?
Sonia asked from across the room. Frankly, no. It doesn't really suit you.
You show good taste or sound instinct. It's a vacation present from my husband.
Yeah? He has bad taste and married you?
He has bad everything. Hush, baby.
Burton didn't mind. Not talking let him concentrate on watching Sonia. Slim and crop-haired, she looked as trimly beautiful as her classic cream-colored hard-topped Italian sports car in which she had driven him to this cozy hideaway from the bar where they had picked each other up. Her movements now, stooping to retrieve a smoke-blue stocking and trail it across a chair, momentarily teasing apart two ribs in the upward-slanting Venetian blinds to peer at the cold gray world outside, executing the fraction of a dance figure, stopping to smile at emptiness. These movements added up to nothing but the rhythms and symbolisms of a dream. Yet it was the sort of dream in which actor and onlooker might float forever. In the morning twilight, she looked now like a schoolgirl, now like a witch, now like an age-outwitting ballerina out for her 25th season, but still in every way the prima ballerina. As she moved, she hummed in a deep contralto voice, a tune that Burton didn't recognize. And as she hummed, the dim air in front of her lower face seemed to change color very faintly, the deep purples and blues and browns matching the tones of the melody. Pure illusion, Burton was sure, like that which some hashish eaters and weed smokers experience during their ecstasy when they hear words as colors, but most enjoyable. To exercise his mind, now that his body had had its fill, and while his eyes were satisfyingly occupied, Burton began to set in order the reasons why a mature lover is preferable to one within yoo-hooing distance of 20 in either direction. Reason one, she does quite as much of the approach work as you do. Sonia had been both heartwarmingly straightforward and remarkably intuitive at the bar last night. Reason two, she's generally well-equipped for adventure. Sonia had provided both sports car and motel room. Reason three, she doesn't go into an emotional tailspin after the act of love, even if her thoughts trend toward death then, like yours do. Sonia seemed both lovely and sensible, the sort of woman it was good to think of getting married to and having children by. Sonia turned to him with a smile.
I'm sorry, baby, but that's quite impossible, especially your second notion.
Hey, did you really read my mind? What do you mean? Why couldn't we have children?
I think I'll take a little chance and tell you why.
She came over and sat on the bed beside him and bent down and kissed him on the forehead. That was nice. Did it mean anything special?
It was to make you forget everything I'm going to tell you.
How? How if I'm to understand what you tell?
After a while, I will kiss you again on the forehead, and then you will forget everything I've told you in between. Or if you're very good, I'll kiss you on the nose. And then you'll remember, but you won't be able to tell anyone.
Well, if you say so. But what is it you're going to tell me?
Oh, just that I'm from another planet in a distant star cluster, and I belong to a totally different species. We could no more start a child than a chihuahua and a cat, or a giraffe and a rhinoceros. Unlike the mare and the donkey, we couldn't even get a cute little sterile mule with glossy fur and blue bows on his ears.
Burton grinned. He had just thought of reason four. A really grown-up lover plays the most delightfully childish nonsense games. Well, go on.
Well, superficially, of course, I'm very like an Earth woman. I have two arms and two legs and this and these.
Yeah, for which I am eternally grateful.
You like them, huh?
Yeah, I do. Well, especially these.
Watch out. They don't even give milk. They're used in esping. You see, inside I'm very different. My mind is different, too. It can do mathematics faster and better than any one of your electric calculating machines.
Oh, yeah? What's 2 and 2?
22. And also 100 in the binary system and 11 in the trinary and 4 in the duodecimal. I have perfect recall. I can remember every least thing I've ever done and every word of every book I've ever leafed through. I can read unshielded minds, in fact, anything up to triple shielding, and hum in colors. I can direct my body heat so that I never really need clothes to keep me warm at temperatures above freezing. I can walk on water if I concentrate, and even fly, though I don't do it here because it would make me conspicuous.
Yeah, especially at the present moment. Oh, it'd be one hell of a sight. Why are you here, by the way, and not behaving yourself on your home planet?
I'm on vacation.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we use your rather primitive planet for vacations, like you use Africa and the Canadian forest. A little machine teaches us during one night's sleep several of your languages. It implants in our brains the necessary background information, too. My husband surprised me by giving me the money for this vacation, the same time he gave me the letter. Usually he's very stingy. But perhaps he had some little plot. I don't know, an affair with his chief nuclear chemist, I guess, and wanted me out of the way. I can't be sure, though, because he always keeps his mind quadruple shield, even from me.
So you actually have husbands on your planet, too, huh?
Oh, yes, indeed. Very jealous and possessive ones, too. So watch your step, baby. Although my planet is much more advanced than yours, we still have husbands and wives and a very stuffy system of monogamy. That seems to go on forever and ever everywhere. Oh, yes, and on my planet we have death and taxes and life insurance and wars and all the rest of the universal idiocy. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Or about my husband. Let's talk about you. Let's play truth. Deep down truth.
Okay.
What's the thing you're most afraid of in the whole world?
Oh, geez, you really want me to give you an honest answer to that?
Of course. It's the first rule of the game.
Well, I guess I'm most afraid of something going wrong with my brain, you know. Growing wrong, really. Something like a brain tumor, that'd be it.
Oh, you poor baby. Just wait a minute.
Still uneasy from his confession, Burton started nervously to pick up Sonia's black lighter, but its black pistol look repelled him. Sonia came bustling back with something else in her right hand.
Sit up. No, none of that. This is serious. Pretend I'm a very proper lady doctor who just forgot to get dressed.
Burton could see her slim back and his own face over her right shoulder in the wide mirror of the dresser. She slipped her right hand and the small object it held behind his head. There was a click.
No, I can't see any sign of something wrong in your brain or is likely to grow wrong. It's as healthy as an infant's. What's the matter, Pete?
Look, Sonia, it's wonderful to play nonsense games and all that, but when you start these magic tricks or hypnotism to back them up, well, that's cheating.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, when you click that thing, I saw my head turn into a pinkish skull and then into like a pulsing blob with folds in it.
Oh, I'd forgotten the mirror. But you really were just imagining things or having a mild optical spasm and seeing colors. No, I won't let you see my little XYZ ray machine.
She tossed it across the room into her traveling case.
It would spoil our little nonsense game.
As his breathing and thoughts quieted, Burton decided she was possibly right, or at least that he'd best pretend she was right. It was the safest and sanest thing to think of what he'd glimpsed in the mirror as an illusion, like the faint colors he'd fancied forming in front of her humming lips. Perhaps Sonia had an effect on him like hashish or some super marijuana. A plausible enough idea, considering how much more powerful a beautiful woman is than any drug. Nevertheless. All right, Sonia. Tell me, what's your deepest fear?
I don't want to tell you.
Oh, come on. I stuck to the rules.
No, all right. It's that my husband will go crazy and kill me. That's a much more dreadful fear on my planet than yours. Because we've conquered all diseases, and we each of us can live forever. Though it is customary to disintegrate after 40 to 50,000 years. And we each of us have tremendous physical and mental power, so that the mere thought of any genuine insanity is dreadfully shocking. Insanity is so nearly unknown to us that even our advanced intuition doesn't work on it. And what's unknown is always most frightening. By insanity, I don't mean minor irrationalities. We have those. My husband, for instance, is bugged on the number 33. He won't begin any important venture except on the 33rd day of the month. And me, I have a weakness for black-haired babies from primitive planets.
Now, wait a minute. You said the 33rd day of the month?
Yeah, my planet has longer months. Nights, too. You'd love them. More time for demonstrating affection and empathy.
You play this nonsense game pretty seriously. Like you'd read nothing but speculative fiction all your life.
You know, maybe there's more in speculative fiction than you realize. But we've had enough of that game. Come on, black-haired baby, let's play.
Hey, wait a minute. She drew back, making a sulky mouth at him. He made his own grim, or perhaps his half-emerged thoughts did that for him. Okay, so you've got a husband on your planet, and he's got tremendous powers, and you're deathly afraid he's going to go crazy and try to kill you. And now he does an out-of-character thing by giving you vacation money and...
Oh, yes. He's such a dreadful mixed-up Superman. He always keeps up that permissible but uncustomary quadruple shield, and he looks at me with such a secret gloating viciousness when we're alone that I'm choked full of fear day and night, and I've wished I could really get something on him so that I could run to an officer of public safety and have the maniac put away. But I can't. I can't. He never makes a slip. I begin to feel I'm going crazy. I, with my supremely trained and guarded mind, I just have to get away to vacation planets and forget him in loving someone else. Come on, baby. Let's...
Hey, wait a minute. You said you've got insurance on your planet, right? Are you insured for very much?
A very great deal. A perfect health and a life expectancy of 50,000 years makes the premiums rather cheap.
All right. And your husband's a beneficiary?
Yes, he is. Come on, Burton. Let's not talk about him. Let's...
No, Sonia. What does your husband do? I mean, what is his work?
He manages a bomb factory. I work there, too. I told you we had wars. They're between the League our planet belongs to and another star cluster. You've just started to discover the super bombs on Earth, the fission bomb, the fusion bomb. They are clumsy, oversized toys. The bombs my husband's factory manufactures can each of them destroy a planet. They're really fuses for starting the matter of the planet disintegrating spontaneously so that it flashes into a little star. Yet the bombs are so tiny you can hold one in your hand. In fact, this cigarette lighter is an exact model of one of them. The models were used for Cosmos Day presents to top officials. My husband gave me this along with the vacation money, Burton. Reach me one of those foul earth cigarettes, will you? If you're going to refuse the other excitements, I've got to have something.
Yeah, okay. Tell me one more thing, Sonia. Now, you say you've got a perfect memory. How many times have you struck that cigarette lighter since your husband gave it to you?
31 times, counting the one time you used it.
She flicked it on and touched the tiny blue flame to her cigarette, inhaled deeply, and let the tiny snuffer snap down the flame. Twin plumes of faint smoke wreathed from her nostrils.
And that's 32 now.
She held the black pear-shaped object towards him, her thumb on the knurled steel blue trigger.
Shall I give you a light?
No. Sonia, as you value your life and mine and the lives of 3 billion other primitives, don't work that lighter again. Put it down.
All right, baby.
She smiled nervously and dropped the black thing on the white sheet.
Why is baby so excited?
Sonia, look, maybe I'm crazy, or maybe you are only playing a nonsense game backed up with hypnotism, but...
Well, what is it, baby?
If you really do come from another planet where there's almost no insanity, homicidal or otherwise, what I'm going to tell you will be news, Sonia. We've just lately had several murders here on Earth where a man plants a time bomb on a big commercial airplane to explode it in the air and kill all the passengers and crew just to do away with a single person, generally for the sake of collecting a big insurance policy. Now, if an Earth murderer could be cold-blooded or mad enough to do that, why couldn't a super murderer...
Oh, no. Not blow up a whole planet to get rid of just... one person.
Well, why not? Your husband is crazy. Only you can't prove it. He hates you, right? He stands to collect a fortune if you die in an accident. Like on a primitive vacation planet that explodes. He gives you the money for a vacation on such a planet, and at the same time he gives you a cigarette lighter that's an exact model of...
I can't believe it. Not a whole planet.
But that's the sort of thing insanity can be, Sonia. And what's more... you can check it. Use that XYZ ray gadget thing of yours to look through the lighter.
But he couldn't. Not even he could.
Look through the lighter, will you? Sonia picked up the black thing by its base and carried it over to her traveling case. Remember not to flick it. You told me he was bugged on the number 33. I imagine that would be about the right number to allow to make sure that you were settled on your vacation planet before anything happened. He saw the shiver travel down her back as he said that. And suddenly Burton was shaking so much himself he couldn't possibly have moved. Sonia's hands were on the other side of her body from him, busy above her traveling case. There was a click, and her pinkish skeleton showed through her. It was not quite the same as the skeleton of an Earth human. There were 2 long bones in the upper arms and upper legs, fewer ribs, and what looked like 2 tiny skulls in the chest. She turned around, not looking at him.
You were right. But now I've got the evidence to put my husband away forever. I can't wait.
She whirled into action, snatching articles of clothing from the floor, chairs and dresser, whipping them into her traveling case. The whole frantic little dance took her less than 10 seconds. Her hand was on the outside door before she paused. She looked at Burton, put down her traveling case and came over to the bed and sat down beside him.
Poor baby. I'm going to have to wipe out your memory, and yet you were so very clever. I really mean that, Burton.
He wanted to object, but he felt paralyzed. She put her arms around him and moved her lips towards his forehead. Suddenly, she said...
No, I can't do that. There's got to be some reward for you.
She bent her head and kissed him pertly on the nose. Then she disengaged herself, hurried to her bag, picked it up, and opened the door.
Besides, I hate for you to forget any part of me.
Hey, you can't go out like that.
Why not?
You don't have any clothes on.
On my planet, we don't wear them.
The door slammed behind her. Burton sprang out of bed and threw it open again. He was just in time to see the sports car take off, straight up. Burton stood in the open door for half a minute, stark naked himself, looking around at the unexploded Earth. He started to say aloud, "Gosh, I didn't even get the name of her planet." But his lips were sealed. Fritz Lieber's story, Game for Motel Room, copyright 1963 by the Mercury Press. This is Michael Hansen. Reading with me was The Princess from the Magic Forest. Technical production for this program by Bob Chan. MindWebs is produced at WHA Radio in Madison, a service of University of Wisconsin Extension.